Well, good morning and welcome to Christ Church. It's so good to see you this morning. My name is Jason Cullum. If you're visiting, I'm one of the pastors around here, and it's just so good to have you as a part of our weekend. And let me do a quick shout out to all of our campuses who are watching today. Fleming Island, we are so proud of you, so encouraged by what you're doing over in Clay County. In fact, we'll give them a big round of applause this morning. Man, we are stoked that you're with us this morning as we wrap up our series, Finding Your Way Back to God. Also want to welcome in all those who are watching on our online campus. Maybe you're home today with a sick kid, or maybe you're traveling, or maybe you were out late after that Florida game last night. We're just glad you're with us, no matter where you are watching around this country, around the world. And let me share something pretty exciting about another campus coming up for us. You know, God is just dropping some incredible opportunities in front of us as a church. We've had a team I shared with you working down at Florida State Prison. Steve Hearn, a group of volunteers, been working down there leading some discipleship groups for several prisoners down there. We did one session, had about two dozen prisoners go through in the middle of our second session right now. And it's been so successful that the warden of the prison has come to our team and said, would you guys be willing to do a Sunday morning service down here for our prisoners within the prison? Now, I don't know about you guys, but that is a huge, huge opportunity. And I don't know if you know anything about Florida State Prison. It's one of the worst in the country. It's got a horrible reputation. I tell you what, if there's any place that needs hope, if there's any place that needs light, if there's any place that needs Jesus, it's a prison. And I don't know about you, but I am super excited about the opportunity that God has given us there. And not only do we get to host a service down there, but they are actually going to pipe in our services to everyone who's on death row. And I don't know about you, but man, I tell you what, that's some people who need some hope in life right now. And so I'm super excited, encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry and using our ministry to just multiply his impact around this world. Now, let me ask you a question as we're getting started. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life, maybe you've done something in your life where you just felt alive, where you just felt life just coursing through your veins? A couple summers ago, my family and I were vacationing down near Daytona Beach, and we were looking for something to do one night, and so we thought, let's go to the boardwalk and see what's going on down there. And so we went down there and went to all the shops. You know, all the shops down there saw all the same junk, and so we went and looked at all that, and a lot of restaurants. They have some carnival games and different rides down there. But they got this thing called this human slingshot. Don't know if you've ever seen one of these. They're all around the country, different places, but it's like 80 feet tall, 8 stories tall, and it's got these bungee cords that are attached to this little two-seater thing, and they strap two people in, and then they create this tension and then launch them into the air. It is absolutely incredible. And so we were down there hanging out, just watching this whole thing happen, watching people going up and listening to people scream. And we're like, oh, that's awesome. That's so fun. And my boys were starting talking a big game. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, that's no big deal at all. You know, I could do that. You know, now I don't know why they're scared. I don't know why they're screaming. You know, I'm like, okay, really? I said, let's go. Because I don't think they thought I'd put the money down for them to ride this ride. But I'm like, oh, if it'll teach them a lesson, I'm putting the money down right now, you know. So I said, come on, guys. And so we went up and we paid our money, and they jumped in line. There were a couple people in front of them. And so they sat there. The closer they got, they watched different people go and get launched into. And there's different reactions. And the cool thing is when they do this, there's a camera that they mount at one of these seats. So you actually can see the people's faces when they get launched into the air, all right? And so here you are waiting in line, and they're watching these people like screaming bloody murder, all right? And they started all like confident, but the closer they got to their turn to ride, they were getting nervous. They're like, oh, you know, Dad, we just ate. We had some shrimp. I don't know. My stomach's a little upset. I don't know if I should do this or not. And they start coming up with excuses. I'm like, nope, paid the money. You're going, you know? And so they got to their time, and they strapped those two in. I'm sitting back, I'm laughing. I just can't wait, you know. I'm a bad dad, I guess. I don't know. But I got my camera, I'm ready to record this whole thing, you know, and I'd play it for you, but we can't edit it enough, you know. But they got in this thing, and they strapped them in, and then they did this countdown, and then like, whoosh, and they take off up in the air. And we're watching the video, and one of my boys, I'm not going to tell you his name, was screaming like a girl. he was just screaming. The other one's going, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom," you know? And I'm sitting on the ground just laughing in my head. I'm like, this is awesome, you know? And they're screaming. They're scared to death. They're terrified. But as they come to the ground, I'm thinking, man, they're going to go, "Man, Dad, you were right. You know, Dad, we were scared." And they get off that thing. And you know what they start doing? They start high-fiving each other. They're doing chest bumps on each other. And they come to me and they say, "Dad, can we ride it again?" You see, have you ever had one of those moments? Maybe it wasn't a moment like that, but maybe you had one of those moments in life where you just felt life coursing through your veins. Maybe for you is when you made the team. Maybe it's when you asked that girl out and she said yes. Maybe it's when you got married or you had your first child, or maybe it's when you landed that dream job, or maybe it's when you jumped out of an airplane, or maybe it's when the Jags won a game, I don't know. But you just felt so alive, and you just felt life just coursing through your veins, and you said, "I never want this to end. I want to feel like this forever." Listen, we've been in this incredible series called Finding Your Way Back to God. And we've been unpacking this incredible, epic story that Jesus taught about this prodigal kid. This kid who wandered from home and eventually found his way back. And every single week, we've had these awakenings, these alarm clocks, these wake-up calls that God puts in our life so that we can find our way back to him. And whether or not you've never found your way back to God for the first time, or you've been a Christ follower for a good portion of your life, we all need these awakenings. We all need these reminders. We all need to be drawn back to him. Now, let me just quickly review where we've been the last couple weeks. Week one was the first awakening. That was the awakening of longing. The awakening of longing. We all long for meaning. We all long for purpose. We all long for love in our lives. We are hardwired. God plants those things in us in order for those to draw us back to him. But in our story, this kid, the kid goes to a distant land, a far-off land, to pursue these longings. Which leads us to week two, the second awakening, which was the awakening of regret. The awakening of regret. And you get caught in this cycle of going out and searching for something and then feeling bad. Going out and searching for something and then feeling bad. Going out and searching for something and then feeling bad. It's this sorry cycle where you get caught between longing and regret. But this is also the awakening where you realize that you can come home, that you can start over. Which leads us to the third awakening, which is the awakening of help. Help. See, when you say, "You know what, I can't do this on my own. I am helpless. I am powerless." It's when you realize that you've been walking in the wrong direction and you turn around and you start walking back towards God. It's when you ask for help. And listen, help has a name, and his name is Jesus. It's Jesus. And so that led us to last week. It was the fourth awakening, which is the awakening of love, where you realize no matter how far you've walked, no matter what distant land you go to, you are still loved by your Heavenly Father. And you realize that you have an identity in him of a much loved, forever accepted child of the Most High God. You are loved. And that was our fourth awakening, which leads us to this weekend, the fifth awakening, which is the awakening to life. The awakening to life. And I tell you what, last weekend in this place, we saw new life. 35 people last weekend in the middle of a hurricane walked forward, walked over here, made a decision for Jesus Christ, and were baptized and put on a new identity. They had new life. And it's so exciting. We celebrated, man. We had a party, a baptism party up in this place. And we sang and we clapped and we cheered, just like up in heaven, where they were singing and they were clapping and they were cheering because another child of God had found his way home. I tell you what, it's been an incredible series. And so today, I just want to kind of wrap things up. And I thought a good way to wrap things up today would be to put all these pieces together and just read this story one last time. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to be. Power up your devices. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verse number 11. And let's just read this story that Jesus tells, this epic story of this prodigal kid. Here's what it says. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Well, a few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. And about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land. And he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. And meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. And when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' Well, the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years, I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing that you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when the son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf?' And his father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" I mean, what a story. I mean, what a powerful story. What a powerful moment. We do not want moments like that to ever end, but those are moments. And the reality is, the rest of life, sometimes it doesn't feel like we're very alive. Instead, sometimes it can feel like we're very far from that. I don't know if you've ever felt this way before, but if you ever felt like you're just going through life, but no life is going through you, I mean, I felt that way. I know what that's like. And so today, what I want to do is just kind of unpack a question today. Unpack a question I think is very important, and it's simply this. How do we continually awaken to life? How do we continually awaken to life? And we've been doing a prayer every single week. This week, the prayer is this: God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. Awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. Listen, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us that kind of life. In fact, Jesus said to his followers one time, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." That you might have life to the full. Now, some translations would translate that as a rich or satisfying life. Other translations say an abundant life. But when you think of that phrase, abundant life or a rich and satisfying life, what do you think of? You know, sometimes I think of the word more. More. When you think of a rich life, you think of abundant life, I think of the word more. More money in my bank account, in my 401k. You know, more deep and meaningful relationships. More vacations. Can I get an amen, right? You know, our culture is in love with that word more. I mean, just think about it. I mean, look at all the marketing, look at all the advertising. You can get 25% more Doritos if you buy the supersized pack, right? I mean, you can get more cash back if you use the right credit card. You can get more frequent flyer miles if you fly on a certain day. You see, in our culture, we assume, we try to connect this whole idea of an abundant life with the word more. But Jesus says it's got nothing to do with more. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but the New Testament was written in the language of Greek. And there are two words for life in Greek. And the first word is the word bios. Bios. In fact, say that with me on three. One, two, three. Bios. You see, that is the root word for biology. It means a natural life. It means kind of life in chronological order, just going through life. And so the average BIOS life, get this, the average BIOS life, you will sleep more than 275,000 hours in an average life. You will eat on average in a BIOS life 76,000 meals. I'm ahead of schedule. That's all I got to say, you know. It's also that you will use the restroom 200,000 times. I mean, that's just the average BIOS life. And many times, we feel like we're just going through life. But there's no life going through us. But there's a second word in the Greek language for life, and that's the word Zoe. Zoe. In fact, say that with me on three. One, two, three. Zoe. And see, Zoe life contains the BIOS life, but it is so much more. You see, BIOS life, it's about quantity. It's about more of the same. But a Zoe life is about the quality of a deep relationship with your heavenly Father. That is the Zoe life. It is living the life that you were created to live, and you were created to live eternally. You were created to live forever. That is the Zoe life. But the truth is, you can have that forever kind of life, that eternity kind of life, right here, right now. And so when Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, which word for life do you think he used? BIOS or Zoe? Zoe. Zoe life. He says, that's the kind of life I want you to have. I want you to have a Zoe life. I want you to have a full life. I want you to have an abundant life, a life living here on earth as you're going to one day live in heaven. That is the life I want you to live. That is the life I want you to have, that Zoe kind of life. And that's what God asked for us to have. He says, that's the life I have for you. And so, well, here's the deal. I want us to see a little bit of the difference between what it means to have a Zoe life and a BIOS life. And we can see that straight out of the story that we've been studying. So look at verse 12 with me. Here's what it says in verse 12. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now, wealth is a key word here, okay? That word wealth is the word we've been looking at today. That word wealth there is the word BIOS. That's actually what it is. It's BIOS. And it literally means the father has divided his life between his kids. He's divided his life between them. So it's as if the father is saying to this younger son, hey, if you want to go pursue this BIOS life, I will let you go pursue all the BIOS life that you want, because one day you will come to the understanding that more will never satisfy, that more will never meet your needs. He's saying, hey, don't waste your time on the BIOS life. BIOS life is not what you were created to have. You were created to have a Zoe life. You were created to have an abundant, full life. I made you for that life. Don't waste your time on a BIOS life. You were made for something more. You were made for a Zoe life. And when you find your way back to God, that's the life that is there for you. And so today, in our fifth awakening, the awakening of life, I believe there are three experiences that we all can have in our life on a regular basis that helps us have that Zoe kind of life. And so let me unpack that. Here's the first experience I think that we can have, and that's celebrate. Celebrate. In fact, say that with me. One, two, three. Celebrate. Celebrate. We party at the lost and found. We party at the lost and found. I mean, right before Jesus told this story about the lost son, he told two other stories about somebody who loses something of great value. See, the first story he told was about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he lost one of them. And so he goes and looks and looks and looks and looks and looks, and he finally finds it. And listen to what it says. He will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. And then he tells a story about a lady. He loses a coin that's very valuable, and she looks and looks and looks and looks and looks, and then she finds it. And listen to what she says. She will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And then comes the story, this third story, the story of the lost son. And we've seen what happens. This kid is lost. He turns for home. His dad runs to welcome him. His dad runs to meet him. And then he calls everyone together and he makes this announcement. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. See, I hope you notice what happened here in all three stories. You see, when the lost sheep was found, it happens. When that lost coin was found, it happens. When the lost son was found, it happens. What happens? A pronouncement was made. There was good news that what was lost has now been found. And then there was a celebration. There was a party. Dad opened the house and said, we are going to throw the party to end all parties. And listen, if you have found your way back to God, then you have something good in your life to celebrate. You were lost, and now you're found. You can reconcile your past, and you can find peace. You can find purpose and meaning for your life. You can find hope for your future. You see, that is the Zoe life. It's when we celebrate. It's when we celebrate continue. It's when we celebrate our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And sometimes the celebration will just be you and God in your car. And other times that celebration will be in a room full of 1,000 people where you celebrate what God is doing. I love what the psalmist wrote. Listen to what the psalmist wrote. He said these powerful words. The Lord takes delight in his people. Did you know that? That God feels that way about spending time with you, that he delights in spending time with you. And the simple fact that you have welcomed him into your day today and have chosen to celebrate with him today brings more delight to him than you can ever imagine. And not only that, it is so meaningful, it is so deep, it is so life-giving to your soul. And so celebrating is the first experience that can help us have that Zoe kind of life. But there's a second experience for us, and that is this, connect. Connect. Say it with me on three. One, two, three. Connect. Connect because we are better together. We discover that we are better together. There was an incredible survey done. It was a research done by a group of people from Harvard University. And a guy by the name of Edward Hallowell led this discovery. And what they were trying to figure out were what was the most meaningful experiences in life. And here's what they came up with. The two most meaningful experiences in life. Number one, achieving and reaching a goal. Accomplishing something that was worthwhile. That was number one. And number two, connecting. Connecting with someone in a real and significant way. And according to Hallowell, our society is becoming more and more obsessed with achieving while we are becoming more and more bankrupt when it comes to having deep, meaningful, connected relationships. And so achieving by itself is not a bad thing, but research shows that it is no substitute for connecting because you can be really, really good and excel at achieving, yet not excel at connecting. And basically what the research found is that they were unhappy people. However, if you excelled at connecting, you excelled at having deep and meaningful relationships, but you didn't excel at accomplishing things, reaching your goals, they still reported that those people were being fulfilled in life. And this research isn't surprising, is it? Because we were hardwired. We were made by our Heavenly Father to connect, to do life with other people. And listen, I don't think that you can experience the Zoe life without connecting to other people. You see, when you connect to other people who have found their way back to God, you discover that life is better together than on your own. Because we know life is difficult, life is hard, life throws curveballs day after day after day at us. And to go through life, to do this journey together with other people, to have that encouragement, to have that support, to have that accountability, gives us the kind of life, that Zoe kind of life that we're so desperately looking for. And it's very hard sometimes. You come to a room like this, this is a room where we can celebrate, but it's difficult to connect in an environment like this. And so that's why as a church, you hear us say all the time, you'll hear me say all the time, it's important for you to get in a neighborhood group. It's important for you to serve somewhere around this ministry so you can get connected and do life with other people. Because God wants you to experience his love through the love of other people. And so it's so important for us to be connected, to do life with other people. And so we celebrate, we connect, and the last word is contribute. Contribute. Say it with me on three. One, two, three. Contribute. We contribute. We find our parts in God's dream. Understand, God has a huge dream for this world. And every single one of us in this room are part of that dream. We are. And his dream is that every single person will spend every waking moment of every single day knowing that they are relentlessly and passionately loved by the God of the universe. And his dream is that every single person will live the Zoe kind of life. And if you were to summarize God's heart, God's dream for this world, for you and me, and it simply would be this phrase: his desire is that you'd find your way back to God. That's what he wants. And here's the thing. God invites you to contribute to his dream. Do you realize that? God invites you to contribute to his dream. You can play a part in his dream. You have a part to play in what God is doing to win this world. And his deep desire, his heart for you and me, is that we would willingly risk loving those people around us just as he willingly risked it all to love you. You have a part to play. You can contribute to God's dream for this world. I don't know if you ever thought about this story of the prodigal kid, about what happens next. I mean, what if Jesus continued to tell this kid's story? What if he continues to tell the rest of the story? I guarantee you, if he told the story that one day this kid was walking down the street and he saw someone on the side of the road who was hungry, who had no food, I guarantee this kid would have stopped and made sure that person had something to eat. I guarantee if this kid sat down and had coffee with a friend of his or somebody he didn't know, and that friend told him a story about a failure in his life, this young man would never judge that person. And I guarantee he never looked at wealth. He never looked at money as status or comfort ever again. You see, what happens when we find our way back to God, what happens when we live in this Zoe kind of life, God opens our heart, he opens our minds, he opens our souls to a greater potential, greater opportunities for us to be a part of what he is doing to win this world. He opens us up to new ideas and new thoughts. He opens our life up to true meaning and purpose, where we truly can lead somebody back to our Heavenly Father. I want to just kind of wrap this whole thing up by sharing with you a story. A guy by the name of Patrick. Patrick attends our Fleming Island campus. Met Patrick back several years ago. And let me just share just a little bit of Patrick's story. Patrick was 18 years old, literally having a birthday party. Got a call in the middle of his birthday party from the fire department saying, "We've got a spot for you." It was his lifelong dream to be a fireman. And so he goes and he works for the fire department. A couple years in, he's on a call, he's on the rescue team. He's on, the second story, and he goes to rescue a small child and literally falls three stories to the basement of the house. And literally in that moment, probably should have died. But he was rescued. But come to find out, because of his injuries, he would never, ever be able to be a fireman again. And that sent Patrick on a journey to a distant land. And he tried everything to find meaning, purpose, and love. He tried drugs. He tried alcohol. He tried sex. He tried it all to find meaning and purpose in life. But eventually, he found his way back to God. And I tell you what, when you go from dead to alive, from lost to found, it changes everything about your life. And now as he wakes up every single day, as you're going to hear from his words himself, he tells you he has a new purpose. He has a new vision. He has a new plan for his life. And so I've asked Patrick to share some words with you. So here is Patrick's story. Watch this story.
For Jesus, there was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of just angry. I smoked weed, marijuana, pretty heavily. There was not much, you know, I could get it anywhere in the neighborhood that I lived in. Growing up, my mother hurt herself. She ended up having to have a double disc replacement. I was the man of the house at the time. My mother and stepfather both threw me a graduation/birthday party. I got a phone call from my local fire department stating that I had made it into the fire academy. So not only was it a graduation party, a birthday party, but it was also a celebratory party for me getting hired on to something I always wanted to do. I had everything I could ever dream of. When I was 22, we got a call at 2:30 in the morning. At this point, I was part of a search and rescue team, and we had word that there was a 2 to 3 year old girl in the second story. When we got on scene, the house was fully blazed, and we went in with no water, me and my partner. And we went in there specifically to find the little girl. I was doing my search and rescue, and I saw her, and she was about 5 to 6 feet away from me. She was scared, she was crying. I reached out. And she started to reach for me, and the floor gave away. I went down pretty hard. I actually, when I called my Mayday, I told them I was on the first floor, not realizing that I was on the basement. But somebody was looking out for me. It was a lady who was a hoarder. She hoarded everything, including every mattress that she had. That is where I landed. I was out for a while. Our air tanks are good for 30 minutes. I was already inside the building for 18 minutes, and it took my the evac crew 22 minutes to find me. So there's a little over 12 minutes unaccounted for of me actually breathing oxygen. I was told 2 months to the day that I got hurt in that fire that I could no longer be a firefighter, that I was considered a liability to the state. I'd heard about this happening. I just thought it would never happen to me. I was fine. I was ready to go back to work. I ended up losing everything. Alcohol was my pacifier. It made me cope with things. It made me not want to deal with life. I felt as if God had turned his back to me and didn't want me, so he chose for me to be here instead of there with him. I came down here and started working at a place called VACCON in Green Cove Springs. And me and my my wife now started talking over a online dating site. I've been clean for over almost 2 years now. The last time I ever drank alcohol, I was sitting on a pier in Green Cove, and I was contemplating on whether or not to jump in the water. That night, she actually messaged me on Facebook, and I don't remember talking to her, but throughout the messages, she convinced me to just go home, to stop whatever it is I was doing and go home. The next morning, I wake up and start looking through my phone, and I realized I had been talking to her, and she saved me from whatever it is that she saved me from. And we started talking again. We would talk for a few months at this point. I met her mother and her father and her sister, and they have such a strong family. That was something that I never really truly had. Judy comes to me, and Judy says, Patrick, are you coming to church in the morning? And I was like, you know, church really isn't for me. She said, well, too bad. If you're in my house, you go to church Sunday morning. I said, well, I guess I'm going to go to church. We come to Christ Church, Fleming Island. I'm watching my sister-in-law. I'm watching my girlfriend. I'm watching my mother-in-law. I'm watching everybody else around me fanning themselves. They're hot. I'm freezing. If it wasn't for Judy that day, I don't really truly know where my life would be today. We actually got married at Fleming Island campus. Not only was I getting married, which is a big thing, but I got married in a church. And I got married in my church. Now that I look back at it, I realize that God has put me in this direction. Through his love and his will, I am no longer the man I was. I'm leaving it up to him now to be able to truly kiss my children's foreheads and tell them that I love them, to tell them that God loves them. That is the most uplifting thing I do every night. And I would not trade that for anything.
He'd be the first to tell you that his life has been completely changed. But once he found his way back home to God, his life has a greater meaning, a greater purpose. And as he said, every day he wakes up knowing and it's his responsibility to share that love with somebody else. I'm telling you, you want to feel alive? You want to feel life coursing through your veins? Lead somebody home to their Heavenly Father. Be a part of what God is doing to win this world for him. I'm telling you, that is living. That is living a full life.